Right. I'm the next speaker. I'm going to talk about the effects of a virus disease that we're seeing in the vineyards in California and now beyond. So first, I'd like to acknowledge the funders of this study. Usually, a lot of pieces have to come together for this work to happen. So thank you to all of you who have been funding this work in my lab. So grapevine red blotch virus is not necessarily new, but it was first reported in 2008. It's a circular ssDNA virus with a resemblance to Gemini viruses. We first said it was propagated through a nursery stock that was coming through the nurseries, so on and so forth. But more recently, they have demonstrated that there is actually a vector, but this was only true under lab conditions. They have not been able to replicate the infection under the field conditions. So this insect is the three-cornered alfalfa leafhopper. It has been around for a long time. We grow a lot of alfalfa in California. In fact, if you walk around the vineyards in Davis, you just kick up like millions of these up onto the grapevines, but yet we see no red blotch infection in Davis vineyards. Cross our fingers. However, this disease is very economically damaging in the Napa area. We're seeing that the costs are in excess of $32,000 to the hectare now, as vineyards have to be completely removed due to this virus disease. The symptoms of the red blotch disease are quite prominent, but it can take an experienced eye to distinguish them. So you do see the red veins underneath the leaves. We do have flat leaf margins. And then you see these red blotches on the leaves. Incidence and severity can depend on the year, grape cultivar, and of course environmental conditions. We do have some effects on the red skin berry that might be visual to the eye, such as lack of coloration, such and so forth. But we do have a lack of knowledge on how carbon fixation to changes in grape composition are affecting the grape berries in this case. So when we set up this experiment, we wanted to see, we wanted to answer some of the physiological questions that we had with this disease. We set up the experiment at our experiment station. It's a vineyard that was set up with a 110R and a 420A rootstock, a standard vineyard 1.8 by 2.4 meter spacing. Prior to the initiation of the experiment, we went through and we visually identified vines that might be symptomatic of this disease. From these vines, we took samples, and these samples were tested for presence of fan leaf virus, grape leaf leaf rollout virus 1 through 10, Rupester's stem pitting, and also red blotch virus. Only after then, we set up the experiment with clean vines and vines that just had the red blotch virus with four replications for each rootstock. And we wanted to understand the physiological characterization of the presence of this disease for carbon fixation to changes in the grape composition. What the disease does, what the growers initially recognized was that the grapes were not ripening. They were hitting 21% total soluble solids, and they would not move beyond that until they started dehydrating these berries. In the vineyard, we took standard agronomic measurements such as plant water status, net leaf gas exchange, yield, and pruning mass. And in the lab, we looked at berry composition for primary metabolites. And then we looked at bear skin flavonoids. And then we looked at the presence of sugars in the leaf tissue because we wanted to see why these leaves were turning red in the end. So let's take a look at the results. Initial one I'm going to show you is the water status. So the same scheme is going to continue throughout the rest of the talk. The disease vines will have a red dot or a triangle. The absence of disease is signified by a blue for either rootstock. So in 2016, we started our measurements late. That's usually what happens when you start a new project. Money comes in late. You start a little bit late. So in this case, we were able to document that there was actually a better plant water status with the grapevine red blotch infection in these plants. Consequently, in the second year, the same result held true towards the end of the season. Again, we have a better plant water status with the infection towards the end of the season with the presence of a virus. Likewise, we see a similar response in stomatal conductance, but the stomatal conductance in this case that is quite different. What we are seeing here is that with the presence of a virus, our stomatal conductance is less than the vines that do not have the infection. And this is consistent throughout the years. So as Johan said earlier, some things in grapevine are quite paradoxical. So we have a better water status combined with a lower stomatal conductance in this case. The general assumption in a grape world is that you irrigate this much and that much the plant will use, or more than likely waste if it flows away. The unknown in some cases is that the plant will close the stomata if they don't need the energy. For example, the photoassimilates in this case. The presence of red leaves with this disease suggested that the photoassimilates were sequestered. So this is the whole plant mechanism, just specific to the water status of this disease, that we proposed. What the disease does is it's impairing sugar transport, as you will see later on. Carbohydrates are accumulated in the leaves, and then what you see is a stomatal closure in the leaves. This is what reduces transpiration. Accumulation of water not used stays in the soil, and then what you end up with is better plant water status with the presence of this disease. Furthermore, better stem water potential may affect berry weight. So in most cases, winemakers are looking for smaller berries. There's a 2,000-year-old debate about that. I'm not going to get into it. But, what we're seeing here is that with a better water status, what we're seeing is, a higher berry mass or a berry weight with the infected grapevine, more specifically to 110R rootstock, which usually has a better hydric potential compared to a 420A rootstock. Furthermore, when we looked at the carbon assimilation in this case, late in the season in 2016, we had seen less carbon assimilation with either rootstock with the presence of the disease. Later on in 2017, the effect of disease wasn't as pronounced. We saw it much later in the season, so the effect on carbon metabolism when we measure it on the leaf might be transitionary. However, when we look at the grape ripening overall, when we look at the total soluble solids, the response is there, and it's very strong. The infected grapevines usually have about 5 degrees less bricks than the non-infected ones, and this carries on from rootstock to rootstock, from plant to plant, from clone to clone, and the responses are quite strong. So the mild reductions we saw in net carbon assimilation would not explain such a great ripening impairment in this case. When we looked at the impairment of color accumulation, specifically total anthocyanins in a milligram per berry, yes, it's true that they are ripening slowly. However, when we look at them at the end of the season, there's really no change at the final harvest time point. So why worry about it? Furthermore, when we look at the components of yield under perfect experimental conditions, free from any virus, just grapevine red blotch disease, we're not able to see any differences in components of yield. So, why worry about this disease? Why is this such a big deal? Well, usually when we do experiments, we compare berry samples picked on the same date. So in this case, this is quite misleading. What you're looking at is the regression between our total soluble solids and our anthocyanins in our two rootstocks and the fit of the line. The red line is the infected grapevines, and the infected grapevines are only reaching up to 21, 22 bricks. They're only making about like 1.8 to 2 milligrams of anthocyanin per berry. Conversely, the other grapevines that are not infected are ripening properly, and since they're ripening properly, they're able to make the correct amount of anthocyanins. When we do the comparison of ripening date versus ripening maturity, the effect is still there. So what most growers would do if the grapes are not ripening properly, they quit irrigating them. They will dehydrate them to make the sugars. But in this case, the anthocyanins are not catching up because they were never made in the first place. Titratable acidity of these red blotch grapes, plotted versus date, plotted versus maturity. Not a whole lot of story to tell here. Grapevine red blotch does not affect titratable acidity directly. However, the casein juice of the pH of the berries is completely a different story. At the same date and same maturity at harvest, we are seeing that if we wait to harvest them at the same maturity, the juice pH is changing, and is changing for the worse. So delayed harvesting in this case is not recommended. So if you were to discuss this further, we have altered plant status with the red blotch disease. You have periods of lower carbon assimilation, lower stomatal conductance. So red blotch disease results in stomatal limitation, so we know that. It decoupled the stomatal response from the whole plant water status. The lower stomatal conductance was not induced by water deficits. That's the paradoxical thing about the disease. And that's what led to a better plant water status. Sugar translocation, as you know, moves from the sources to the sinks through the phloem. And this disease, what it does is it impairs sugar translocation in the grapevine, and that's what delays grape berry ripening. The carbon assimilation reductions we saw with the disease were circumstantial in this case. What we saw is an impairment of sugar translocation from leaf to berry, and that's the underlying mechanism. And we see this in the form of red blotches on leaves, and therefore slower ripening, not getting into the correct tissue. Furthermore, the disease limited the capacity of the source to sink ratios. That's what yields the complex symptomology. What we also saw was the desynchronizing the ripening-related processes in the primary metabolism. This was more pronounced in the juice pH. If we waited longer, we worsened the juice pH composition. And then in the secondary metabolism, which is what the winemakers really care for, where I do a majority of my work, it led to the decoupling between sugar loading and anthocyanin biosynthesis. The reductions in anthocyanin content could not be explained by a delay in total soluble solids accumulation in this case. It suggests a net synthesis downregulation in this case. Although the biosynthesis is induced by sugar, it's also modulated by hormone signaling. This was reported previous to our work. We also saw a limitation by substrates and reducing power. So in the end, what we concluded that was that there's a limitation of phlegmatic transport with a red blotch infection, much like the other diseases that we see, such as leaf roll, so on and so forth. So in conclusion, red blotch disease lowered the stomatal conductance, and this was associated with a poor translocation of sugar. Inhibition of sugar translocation from leaves into the berries were concomitant to the altered kinetics of titratable acidity, anthocyanins, and also the tannins, which I did not show in this presentation. When you compare the berries with similar total soluble solids, it did not result in the same berry chemistry. Selective harvests, such as same bricks maturity, anthocyanin content, and pH may be substantially different with the presence of disease, in most cases 40 at worst. And our results finally provided evidence that this disease resulted in decoupling of the metabolic processes crucial to sustainable production of wine grape. And that's why the cost of $32,000 to the hectare economic damage with this disease. We have a better figure than this, but this is what came out in the paper in the end. The paper is available as open source in our Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry. Johan Martinez summarized and wrote the paper. A lot of people worked on this project, so I thank them here again.